Joining us to help break it down is our Denver Broncos insider, presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air, Troy Rank. Follow him on Twitter at Troy Rank. And, of course, as I mentioned, Denver 7. How are you doing, Troy?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Finally ready to get this season going. We were just talking about the injury situation, specifically on offense for the Giants. The Broncos obviously have concerns with Bradley Chubb, but it's all systems go for the rest of the defense. This seems to be an opportunity for them to prove that they're for real.
Yeah, I mean, it sets up for their strengths. The Giants have a leaky offensive line. They have struggled to tackle. Nate Solder might play. Maybe he starts. Andrew Thomas has been a little bit of a bust at times with his technique. And so that sets up for them to get pressure from the outside from Von Miller, even if Bradley Chubb doesn't play. I mean, Malik Reed led him in sacks last year with 8, and they have Jonathan Cooper now. I mean, you'd love to have Chubb play, and I think he will, but the reality is they're covered on the outside.
Right.
And this secondary is the highest priced secondary in the NFL. I mean, it's time to get takeaways. This is the secret sauce. It's the cowbell of the song. You can't be special defensively without takeaways, and they can't be reactionary. Daniel Jones has had, what, between fumbles and interceptions over the last couple of years, 51. He is a turnover machine. He is the exact ripe person that you want to attack defensively. Make him beat you. Put pressure on him. Put him in compromised positions. So, yeah. It sets up for their defense to play well. You know, that there's no excuses at this point. It's a perfect matchup for their defense.
You look at this opener a little bit differently because even under Vance Joseph, in his otherwise horrendous 2 years as the head coach of the Broncos got off to good starts both years. Those good starts didn't hold up. The opposite has been true, obviously, with Vic Fangio. And until the Broncos win a September game, 0-7 will be the two numbers that Bronco fans hear a lot, Bronco players hear a lot, the coaches hear a lot. Looking at the matchup that I think might not necessarily favor the Broncos but would be important if it did favor Denver on Sunday, I think we get a look at Cushenberry and Reisner in Glasgow, who weren't collectively very good last year, going up against what would appear to be the Giants' strength on the interior, specifically with Leonard Williams. And that's one I'm wondering if you're watching, too, to see how the interior line play is for Denver, and are they allowed to run the ball as much as they say they want to run the ball this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating. Will they stay patient if they struggle to run the ball early? Pat Shurmur, last year we saw, you know, they pass on first down, run on second down, and they faced more down and distance on third down than any team in the league last year. They need to be more creative. I still wish they would use more motion in their offense. But to your point, Sandy, they've got to run the ball. They can't throw 50 times and win. Even Dak Prescott, as great as he was last night, he's 1-6 when he throws, I think, 40 times in a game. It's just not a recipe to win in the NFL, and it's certainly not for this Broncos team. So if they're getting 3 yards a carry in the first quarter, can they stay patient, stay in the game, and know in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, that's going to matter because it's going to open up play action. It's going to open up bootlegs. It's going to create things off of it, but you have to stay patient with it. And that will be difficult at times. I mean, the Giants defense, in many ways, these teams mirror each other. The Giants have a really good defense. They're more complicated in the way they do their scheme at times. They disguise it with cover two and cover three, and they get pressure up front from when you mentioned Leonard Williams has had a renaissance of his career since joining the Giants. But they have great defenses, questions at quarterback, and questions at head coach. And these teams are not unalike. The key is, like you guys have talked about, the Giants are a bit compromised. Saquon Barkley is their best player. He probably will play, but he's going to be limited. He might be a decoy in a lot of cases. Galladay didn't play much at all. Their first-round pick is probably not going to play. Tony, the kid from Florida. And Daniel Jones just wasn't very good last year. I mean, he was basically Drew Lock for them in terms of the way he turned the ball over. So can the Broncos be patient offensively with also showing calculated aggression? And the one stat that's amazing to me, and I want to see if it reflects in this game, they did not score a touchdown on an opening drive last year in 16 games. Not one. Zero touchdowns on opening drives. They scored 9 points in 16 opening drives. They were, I think, 29th in scoring in the first quarter last year. They play uphill all the time. Fangio's teams are 1-15 when trailing at halftime. That's got to change. I think the other stat I heard is Teddy Bridgewater's never overcome a 7-point deficit at any point in a game. So give this team a chance. Get up 7-0. Get up 10-3 and let your defense go to work. But you can only do that if you can execute offensively. And it's just, it's prove it mode. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Nobody in Broncos country wants to hear about the preseason at this point. They just want to see results. And this team's built to give them that, but they've got to prove it.
We're talking to our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rankin. And Troy, we know that this team has to run. That said, 2018, Cortland Sutton, a second-round pick. 2019, Noah Fant, a first-round pick. 2020, Jerry Jeudy, a first-round pick. KJ Hamler, a second pick. They've been drafting a lot of toys. Is it going to be difficult for the Broncos to keep themselves from using them?
Yeah, I mean, at times, yes. I would say that would have been the danger, specifically in this game of playing Drew Locke. Is Drew cannot resist the temptation to take chances. And this defense, I mean, they made life miserable for Russell Wilson last year. I mean, their defense is really good. And they disguise stuff, and they're complicated in their schemes. That's where Bridgewater, his experience and his leadership and his poise and calm, all those things that he's shown at times in his career should pay dividends in this game. But you just can't force it, Sean. That's the easy answer. Yes, they're all talented. They're not all going to get fed every game. It's just not the way football works. A couple will get 8, 9 targets, and a couple are going to get 2 or 3. And then depending on the matchup, that might flip the next week. But you just can't force it. And with Hamler, maybe it's you take the top off in play action. But the one thing you do need to do, where I would agree with you, Sean, is you can't forget about Jeudy and Sutton. In college, when I watch it every Saturday, a lot of teams that win, they just keep it simple. Get the ball to our best player and let him go to work. And that's Jeudy for them right now. And it likely will be Sutton at times on Sunday. So, yes, Teddy Bridgewater, get it to him. Let him get yards. You know he's going to lean on Jeudy. I mean, it's just obvious they have a connection. And then with Fant, he didn't get a target in the preseason in 2 games. So he's coming back from injury. I understand that. But he can't be a ghost on third down and in the red zone. If he has 5 targets, I want 3 of them in the red. I want 3 of them on third down and at least 1 in the red zone. Or otherwise, what are we doing? Like, he's 6'5", 250 with the body fat of a Snackwell's cookie, and we can't get him the ball? Like, come on. Like, that's where I shake my head at times. You've got the talent, but the onus is on Pat Shurmur to find how it works. And going 3 wide and forcing it is not how it works. They will lose if they do that consistently and they throw 35, 40 times. They will 100% lose the game.
We'll let you run on this, but I'm saving the toughest question for last, putting you on the spot. How much is Patrick Surtain going to play on Sunday in terms of percentage of snaps? Give me your guess or your range.
I'd say 75%.
Really? That much?
Yeah. And some of it will depend on down and distance, because a lot was made about in camp that, oh, he's going to be the linebacker, inside linebacker in the dime package. Well, again, if it's 3rd and 4, he's not, because they're going to run at him. It's going to depend. If it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 11, yeah, he's going to be down there and he's going to be able to cover and he's going to be able to float and do things, but they're not going to just put him at inside linebacker consistently. And then even if Barkley's not playing, they would still run at him because he's a cornerback playing linebacker. But my anticipation, Stan, is he plays 75% of the snaps. And if one of their guys struggles, you know, whether that's Callahan because he needs to rest, or, you know, it won't be Darby because they're paying him, so he's going to play early. But if Fuller's having a tough day, you're going to see Surtain. They put him on the podium this week to talk to us in the media. They rarely do that for rookies, and they're not going to do it for a guy that they don't anticipate playing. Again, game to game, it might shift, but I anticipate at the end of the year we'll look up and he's played 70 to 75% of the snaps.
He is Troy Rank. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Troy Rank. And, of course, catch him on Denver 7. Thank you for the time, my friend. We really appreciate the insight.
You got it, guys. Looking forward to it. Finally, it's real.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Troy. Troy Rank, brought to you by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.